Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. This is Troy Dooley, and I tell you what, I am having a blast. You know, I started this morning. I actually got up a little late. I was working last night. I'm doing a new video that's going to be out today on Catalyst, the Catalyst Conference. It's a movement that started back 11 years ago. About 400, 500, 600 of us got together in Atlanta, and today I'm proud to say there's less than 100 tickets have left to this conference. There'll be 15,000 plus in attendance. It's become a movement worldwide. Not only do we have the big event every fall in Atlanta, we now have another Catalyst conference that takes place on the West Coast, Catalyst West. We do one-day events all on leadership, all on team building, all on what it takes to make it in this world. And it's fun because we combined, and you're going to see where I'm going with this in just a second, we combined spiritual, leadership, culture, politics, every major conversation going on in your life today happens at Catalyst. And when I looked at it, I thought, how can a small group start something that has become an international phenomenon? I mean, over 60 different countries will be in attendance. This happens every year. 15,000 people, 300-plus volunteers show up out of their life. Internationally acclaimed bands make sure that they are a catalyst to be part of the Catalyst Band. What causes this? And I tell you what, it segues directly into today's chapter, because today's chapter is titled, Total Commitment is the First Step to Greatness. You know, in 2000, I went to this conference as an attendee because John Maxwell was the name. They said, come visit John Maxwell's new leadership conference for leaders under 40. John used his influence. I got to that conference. I expected to spend 2.5 rocking days listening to John Maxwell, and I was totally amazed when John only spoke 90 minutes. Throughout the years, he was committed to making sure that young leaders were up on stage. Every year, John passed a baton to somebody that had already been there before him, a great leader that was retiring. But John very seldom spoke. The last couple of years, John's not spoke at all. He's not even been in attendance. He's passed the mantle on to others. And as I started reading today's chapters, I'm getting ready for Catalyst. We're shooting a lot of new videos and getting them out there because it's leading up to the first week of October where we will be there really enjoying life. And I've had people say, Troy, for 11 years we hear you talk about it and you go and you come back and you share more stories. Why? And it all comes up to it's a commitment. See, when you make a commitment to something greater than yourself, the sky becomes the limit. And see, in direct selling, in building any type of an organization, the leader, the visionaries that are behind it have to be totally committed. But here's the other thing, and this is something that we all must learn. Every rep, every employee, everybody that joins that company needs to join it for more than just a financial transaction. It has to be a driven, the message, the mission, the crusade, whatever your company calls it, their vision, their creed, their motto, needs to be branded on the hearts of those people that are building that company. I see this, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, with a variety of organizations inside and outside of direct selling. But as I looked at this today, I thought, wow. Art Williams writes this. It's called the management mistake. Some managers have only a half-hearted commitment to what they're doing, and it shows. I've been that way. I don't know about you, but I'm that way. If there's something that I'm not playing to my strengths, if there's something where I've lost trust in the leadership of the company, if they've done things that I believe is unethical, if they continue to make the same mistakes over and over and they don't realize that's the same definition as insanity, then I give it a half-hearted effort and very quickly I'm gone. The leadership solution is a great leader has a total commitment to his business and personal goals. I think you can take that even a step further They have it on their spiritual goals, their health goals, their relationship goals, everything. See, this is the key. Listen to what Art writes here. I think this is great. In every person's life, there are many important moments. But in your business life, there is one moment that stands out from all others. It's the moment that you take the first step to greatness. When you change from someone with a job to someone with a purpose, I'm referring to the moment that you decide to make a total commitment to your goals. There's this movement within direct selling, and I'm totally against it. I have no problem stepping out on it. I think that it's something that people need to understand. It's the concept that you can go out and have multiple streams of income building multiple direct selling companies. I do not believe in the long run that that will work, and I think you will make less money and hurt more people. Here's the reason I say that. You're not totally committed. You cannot be totally committed to your team, to your vision, to your purpose, if all it is about is a financial transaction. What made Art Williams great was not the fact that he decided to start A.O. Williams. What made Art Williams great, and you can read this in his book, Coach, was the fact that he said, I want to change the way Middle America is viewed by the insurance industry. I want to make sure that this screw job that they're getting, where they don't have enough life insurance when they die, changes, because there's one product out there that can make the difference. And this isn't to debate whether buy term and invest the difference is the right way or the wrong way. That's not what this is about. This is about one man's vision, one man's purpose. And he went out and he started sharing that with people. And there was no doubt in anybody's mind to this day that Art Williams was 100% committed to his purpose, to his vision. There's no doubt that the 60 couples that earn over $1 million a year, 32, 34 years after he launched that company, that they are totally committed. See, this is the kicker. This is what you've got to look at. Total commitment is the first step to greatness. This goes with your relationships. You know, it's funny. I remember dating my wife. We started dating at 16. I can't tell you I fell in love with her. She was walking up a ladder in front of me, and I fell in love with her body. And over the years, I fell in love with her heart. From the age of 16 to 22, she kept putting her arms out saying, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. At 22, she said, I do. I was committed, but not like she was. When she said, I do, she thought long and hard about it. I loved her. She was my soulmate. But it took a lot of understanding for me to realize what commitment was. When I made total commitment to my wife, it's probably 5 years into our marriage. We were going through a rough spell. Dalton was on his way. It was 1990, end of 1989. One of the blackest periods in my life. Paige and I had separated. She was pregnant. Her grandpa, one of my mentors, had just passed away. All kinds of outside influences were coming at us. And I decided, I'm done. I don't want any of this. I was making good money. We had a net worth of over $2 million. Our business was flourishing. We'd launched this new bail bond company and had put a network marketing comp plan to it. Things were going great. I'm 25 years old. I'm hitting every goal I've set. My marriage is falling apart. I'm in my office, got a brand new T-Bird, things are great for me. I'm sitting there one night we had a three-story office building owned by the largest McDonald's franchise owner in Kansas City, and we had all of it but his little office. And I'm sitting there in my little office. I went in to get a cup of coffee. And because we were in the Midwest and there's always a lot of rain and stuff, we had a sump pump down in there in the basement to keep the water from overflowing, and the motor came on. And I sat there and I looked at that motor and I looked into that 3-foot hole where all that murky black water was. I thought, man, this is exactly where my life's headed if I don't get my act together. At that time, I was going through about a fifth of tequila a day. And I'd start at about 9 o'clock in the morning and finish up whenever we got done that night. It was that moment where I say God spoke to me by letting me look in this dark, nasty hole. But it's where I made a commitment. I don't want to lose my wife. I don't want to lose my kids. I don't want to lose anything. And it was a turning point. And over the last 23 years, Paige and I have gone through hell together. We've watched our son go to prison. We've watched one son run away. We've moved across the United States. We've both been home-based business people. We've seen health issues come up. We've lost relatives. Everything imaginable that a couple has to go through. We watched our baby girl with a birth defect that could have killed her by the age of 21. Everything imaginable. But because we have a total commitment, we did two things. We said we will never, ever use the word divorce. Ever. We will figure out a way to make it work. Well, there's a few other things in my life that I feel the same way with. When I took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States, I didn't do it part-time, I did it full-time. I made a total commitment, inside or outside of a uniform. When I accepted the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is the way I think, I don't expect everybody else to believe this, but when I made the commitment that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God and the only way to get to heaven, I decided that was a 100% commitment that I would go down, and I would do my best to live like he lived according to what I read in the Bible. I also made a commitment throughout my life to different things like the Catalyst Movement. For the first 6-7 years, they gave me so much, helped me create the new Troy, that I decided from this point forward I would dedicate any time that I can, that they can use me, free of charge, to serve those that are in my shoes where I was 6 years ago, who bring their kids and want their kids to make a difference like I saw with Dalton. See, when you make a total commitment in every aspect of your life, it'll make a change. December 31st, 2009, I made a total commitment to stop building a direct selling organization. To be able to go out there as an advocate, as an ambassador to this profession. We get talked to and called all the time. Would you join our company? Will you do this? Will you do that? Troy, what about a secret position? What about a silent position? And I said, I don't want that. I made a total commitment to the profession. When you make a total commitment, people see that. You start building an organization. You start building leadership. You start building trust. You start building integrity. It's when you're not totally committed as the leader to something that your people see that and they start to wonder and they start to move away and you start to see attrition and you start to wonder what's going on. Another push-up principle that Art writes in here. You cannot ever be truly successful until you make a total commitment. This is why I tell you guys, multiple streams of income. That's wonderful. I don't have a problem with that. And we do it all the time. But you cannot build multiple streams of income from different direct selling companies. It doesn't work, and there's actually rules and regulations against it. But it doesn't work. The Bible puts it this way. You cannot serve two masters. If you are totally sold out and totally committed to the mission and the leader of a company, and that leader is totally sold out to the mission and to the field, to getting their message across, you create such synergy that it will never go away. Herbalife, Amway, Avon, Watkins Products, Shackley, Fuller Brush, Primerica, Prepaid Legal, the list can go on and on and on. People believe in what they're doing. They found something that was bigger than themselves. It's part of a human need psychology. If you study this, you find out that God created people in a way that they have to be part of something bigger than themselves. If I and don't ask me why, narcissist ever got out here. That's just a disease in my book. Because any time that you're inward focused just on yourself, you will never succeed. Not to the level that you could. See, when you're totally sold out, totally committed, the sky's the limit. Listen to this other push-up principle. Actually, no. Before I do that, let me read this one paragraph Art wrote here. When you finally make that total commitment, nothing in your life will be the same. Maybe for the first time you will have a real direction in your life, a purpose for getting up in the mornings and working hard every day. Art used to say this. He'd say, and he didn't just say it to me, but I took it to heart, and here's how I'm going to say it. He'd say, Troy, if you work hard, you'll beat 50% of the people all the time. If you work smart, you'll beat another 40% of the people all the time. That last 10%, though, that's going to be a dogfight because they want it as bad as you do. There are some great leaders in direct selling that have never even been recognized yet. They want it so bad. There's other leaders. One of my friends, Jeff Hooks, is a prime example. He used to be the number third earner in Vima. He actually was able to facilitate the growth of the largest demographic area where Vima is utilized on a daily basis. Last year, he got a little sidetracked. And you guys have heard me share this story before. He looked over on the other side, saw a field that looked pretty and green and plush, and said, man, I'm going to go check that out. It may not be as hard to mow. But then he came back. He said, you know, this is where my heart is. This is where my family is. This is where home is. He didn't go back into being the number third earner in the company. He started back at the bottom, working his way up, building something again, because he believed in the crusade and the mission of the company. See, when you have that kind of commitment, nothing holds you back. Listen to this push-up principle right here. Total commitment helps develop mental toughness. See, when you're totally committed 100%, you have a never quit, never give up attitude. When the going gets tough, you still crank it out. Most people have seen the Marine Corps Memorial of Iwo Jima. Three Marines holding up the United States flag. What most people don't realize is that thousands of Marines had died already. Chester Puller, the most decorated soldier in military history, came back home after uncountless trips of serving his fellow troops, wiping out the enemy in World War II, came back and became an actor. The commitment that they had for this country, the commitment that people have for each other. There's a reason that every branch of the service has a creed. Ours is Semper Fi, always faithful. Every 1% or organization, every fraternity from the Masons to the fraternities and sororities and colleges, the Greek stuff, all that, everyone, they have these mottos, these creeds that they live by. It goes all the way down to just average everyday students at a college who 25 years after graduation are alumni supporting their college. It's a commitment. When you take that total commitment, it's that mental toughness. I have been a Kansas City Chiefs fan since I was 5 years old and watched them play in the Super Bowl. Good, bad, or ugly, it doesn't matter. People say, Troy, who's your favorite team, Kansas City Chiefs? I play fantasy football, and I'm so clueless about it that I picked all the Kansas City Chiefs as my players because I didn't know how to play fantasy football. The only fantasy football I was playing was I got to control the Kansas City Chiefs. Total commitment gives you the mental toughness. When you hear the word no, 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 maybe, no, no, yes, all of a sudden you get excited again, and you can go back out and do it if you're totally committed. Listen to this push-up principle. Successful people, this is big. Successful people do what it takes and a little bit more. They do what it takes and a little bit more. Listen to what Art wrote. This is so great. The person who really wins big financially and in the terms of success and recognition always does everything that's required of him and everything that it takes to win, and then he goes just a little bit further and does a little bit more. When I joined the Marine Corps, I had my recruiter who was kind of cynical. He said, whatever you do, don't volunteer for anything. Well, you guys know me enough to know I get bored real easy. I've got to have a challenge. So I didn't listen to my recruiter. I volunteered for everything. And there were some things I wish I hadn't volunteered for, but it didn't matter if it was boot camp or afterwards. I volunteered for it. I was there. When they called and said, we need a little extra, I was there. I had no clue in the beginning what that meant until my promotion started coming a little faster. My meritorious masses came a little bit faster. This was something that carried on through my work life. When I talk about the bail bond company, we were the youngest, at one time, the youngest general agent ever to open up an internet or a national bail bond company. Always wanted to do a little bit more. When I went out and I picked people up and I brought them in, it wasn't about bringing them back and putting their butts in jail. It was about doing a little bit more, helping them out. I'll never forget the day I brought this little bitty black boy home. He's about 4 years old, had a little ponytail. I had to put his mom back in jail for prostitution. With a tear in her eye, she said, Troy, will you take my baby? Because my mom is not home from work yet, and I don't want him to go into the system. I said, I'd be more than happy to. Took that little boy home with me, picked up Paige, and we went to the school because we needed to go to a teacher conference for Josh. Boy, you should have seen the looks at this all-white school. But that little boy didn't have to go into the system. I got to take him back to his Mimi a little later. You do a little bit more. When you've got a team member hurting, you don't blow them off. You do a little bit more. You reach out to them. You help them out. See, if you want to succeed in any area of your life, you do a little bit more. Dalton and I won't go to Catalyst in 2 weeks to fiddle fart around. Oh, yeah, we love hanging out in the green room, meeting everybody. I mean, that's cool. Anybody in their right mind likes to meet these people that are on stage that you hear about. I love meeting Dave Ramsey. That boy's so smart when it comes to finances. So you get to sit around and listen to him. Lanny Donahoe, Reggie Joyner, Malcolm Gladwell that wrote The Tipping Point. Now, there's one. Tim Sanders. It's fun listening to those guys. But you know what we love? We love being at the back of that room. We love being underneath the floors. We love knowing that, you know what, we're putting a little bit more up so that the people sitting there in those seats can get something out of this, take it home, and change their lives. You got to do a little bit more. Push-up principle that Art writes in here. This is great. Before you can be totally committed, you've got to love and believe in what you're doing. See, if everything in your book is about a financial transaction, it's about money. It's not about how you can change somebody else's life, how you can change your life. You know what? It won't work. You will never feel successful. I talked to a young lady this week by the name of Amber McDaniels. She has never, until January 4th of this year, she had never been in what she calls relationship selling. Now, she has been. She was a very successful commercial real estate person, her and her partner, Nelson Crow. But in real estate, for the most part, it was just a financial transaction. Their real passion was taking their earnings, their profits, and turning around and building schools in Guatemala, Costa Rica, Jamaica, Haiti. And one day somebody opened their eyes to what direct selling was about. Talked to them about relationship marketing. Told them, you know, you could build your own foundation and your for-profit company out here would help change people's lives, and you could just funnel it right into your charity and give it away to all these kids who need schools. Need homes. It's so funny. They picked the name DeVita. It's an Italian word that means two lives. Because what they teach their people is that if you can change your life and the life of one other person, you can change the world. See, when it becomes more than just a financial transaction, when you believe so deeply in that company, even if the company fails you, the mission will stay true and you will find a new company with a better mission. Eventually, you may even find a home. See, sadly, most people join their first company because somebody invited them to it, not necessarily because they believed in the mission, unless you're a Primerica agent where you can't even bring a person in until the third sale because they want them to understand the passion and the mission of the company. See, it's never about the money. The money's a byproduct. Paige did not start writing for the money. She wrote because of the passion that's there. She writes today not because of the money. The money's great. It's gotten better and better and better. but it's because of the passion of what writing really means. See, before you can be totally committed, you've got to believe in what you're doing. Art says this, and I thought this was always good. The path to success is spelled W-O-R-K. There's no such thing as a handout. There's no such thing as a free ride. There's no such thing as, okay, if I just join this company, my upline, my bosses, whoever, they're going to take care of me. See, this is what's wrong. And listen, I'm going to get on a little soapbox here because I want you to understand this. Most companies that you get attracted to or some of your team will get attracted to where you say, man, there looks like there's some quick money there. There probably is some quick money there. But the company is not built on a mission or a crusade. When a company, and you can take this to the bank, when a direct selling company launches and the focus of the launch is 100% on some money story, on a compensation plan, and not on the power of the product that can change somebody's lives or the power of a service that can change somebody's life, that company will not be around very long unless they change their philosophy. You cannot build success. And if you think I'm nuts, then you're in a pretty big crowd. But if you want to find out just how true what I'm saying is, I challenge you to go read about the lives of the 400 richest families in history. And you will find that they didn't get rich because they focused on the money. If you go and you find the richest 400 people in Forbes today, and you track their bios and their stories, you will find out that they did not get rich because of they didn't get rich as a focus. What they did was the money, the success, the lifestyle was a byproduct of their passion to change the world. Bill Gates made it very clear in the very beginning, I want to change the way the world sees PCs. Matter of fact, I want to dominate the PC market. I want to have the best operating or the largest operating system out there. And he's done that. If you study Steve Jobs didn't say, I wanted to be rich. He said, I want to create a culture. I want to create a community. I want to create a machine that becomes like the person who owns it. And he's created a very beautiful company that always comes out with something that's best for the people. Oprah Winfrey didn't say, I want to be the richest black woman on TV. She just wanted to change the lives of other kids that had gone through the poverty and the hell that she went through. And as much as some of us don't like some of the political figures that are out there, when you look at men and women that rise up into politics, the majority of them didn't start their political career because of the money. A lot of them end up that way, and they end up failing, and we see them in scandal and slander and everything else, but they did it because they wanted to change something. Folks, take this away today. You have to become totally committed if you want to feel that greatness. If you want to have that commitment and that contentment and that completeness of knowing that you're doing it right, then you've got to buy into something larger than yourself. That's just the name of the game. Folks, tomorrow, and I'm excited because we're going to be cramming this thing out, we're going to talk about how to become a crusader. What it takes to take it to that next level after you've given it your total commitment. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.